Welcome back to the Fascinating Facts I Bet You Didn't Know podcast. I'm your host, Shrikant Gyalkar, and in this podcast, we just talk about random, fun, interesting facts about a single topic. This week's topic is facts about war. And keep listening, because at the end, you will learn about a masterful plan that the Allied powers used on the Axis powers in World War II. All right, let's get into it. Fact number one. Did you know that only one out of every four men survived serving on U-boats? So, in World War II, the Germans used submarines, right? And they were called U-boats. And these U-boats were very, very deadly. So, in World War II, most Allied Navy ships did not have radar or sonar, which is like to tell if anything's around you, right? And because of that, as I said, they couldn't tell what was around them because they didn't have radar or sonar. So if you were on an Allied Navy ship and you were attacked by a U-boat, you probably wouldn't know that you were getting attacked until you saw a big black machine come out of the water and start firing at your ship. So there were two ways that a U-boat could kill you. The first one was it would come out of the water and it would just shoot your hull, the hull of the ship, with a bunch of bullets, and then your ship would sink. And then you'd have to swim to safety or you'd have to die. And keep in mind that you're in the middle of the ocean with fairly little rations, maybe not even some. But that honestly was the good choice. The other choice was to shoot a torpedo. Would be that the U-boat would shoot a torpedo at your ship, and just boom, boom, ship is gone, you're dead. Anyway, so after a bunch of deaths of Navy ships, the Allied forces added sonar and radar to most of their ships. And after that, the U-boats kind of couldn't kill anybody because the ships could find out, and a lot of them were caught and blown up. And at one point, there were more U-boat deaths, like German U-boat deaths, than there were Allied powers one. And there were just so many deaths that the Germans just stopped using them. So, that's pretty cool. Anyway, let's move on to fact number two. Did you know that pepper spray is banned in war? So, pepper spray is basically you put pepper on like food, right, to give it a little more flavor. Yeah, so they grind it up very, very small, and then they put it in an aerosol can. And it's sold as a defensive object, so like if somebody tries to attack you or something, you can just spray them, and it hurts like crazy, and it burns a lot too. I've gotten it in my eye once, and it is so hurting. It's just horrible. Anyway, so the reason why it's banned is because you could basically incapacitate a whole army just by spraying the enemy with pepper spray, because it hurts a lot. So the United Nations came together and they were all just like, pepper spray is banned. So that's pretty cool. All right, on to the next fact. Did you know that tanks were gendered? So in World War I, there were tanks that were made to like shoot stuff, right? And they were either made male or female, right? The male tanks had cannons and they would just shoot big shells. And the female tanks had heavy machine guns and they would have like mini guns or heavy machine guns and they would just shoot a lot of bullets, right? And yeah, that's basically it. And a little fun fact, the first tank in World War I to be made was called Little Willy. So, yeah. All right, on to the next fact. Did you know that in World War I, the city of Paris built a fake Paris to trick German bombers? So, originally, the Germans would bomb, like, a lot of stuff. And this is World War I. So, they were ahead of their time a lot. And they just kept bombing a lot of the cities. So the city of Paris built a fake Paris. And the way they built it is, from the top, like when you're flying over it, it looks almost identical to the real city, or very similar. But from like the sides, or if you were like human-sized and on the ground, it would look totally different. So you would know not to go into that city, right? So that way, the Germans would see the fake Paris, and they'd bomb it. A bunch of buildings and stuff would fall and crumble, but nobody would die. So that was good for the... Yeah. Alright, on to the next fact. Did you know that World War I changed Europe forever? Let me explain. So originally, there were six big sections of power, or like countries in Europe. There was Austria-Hungary, which was basically the land of Austria and the land of Hungary, ruled over by one monarch called Austria-Hungary. There was the Ottoman Empire, which was in present-day Turkey. And then there were the British, the German, the French, and the Russian empires, which were in their respective spots, like in their own countries. But World War I broke apart a lot of those sections. Like, World War I caused the Russian Revolution, and it broke apart the Ottoman Empire, and I'm pretty sure Austria and Hungary became their own countries as well. So it broke apart a lot of those sections. And then World War II came around, and that actually added a lot more countries as well. So, yeah, that's a fact. Alright, on to the final fact. And this is a good one. Okay, so I did tease this fact at the beginning, but let me explain, like, fully, right? So in World War II, the Allied powers conducted a James Bond-esque type operation called Operation Mincemeat. Basically, their main goal was to try and attack and take Italy. And they wanted to try and not really kill as many people, so they used Operation Mincemeat. So basically how it worked, right? So the British Military Intelligence, or MI6, found a dead guy called Glyndwr Michael, right? And his real cause of death was that he killed himself by drinking rat poison, right? So what MI6 did is they took his body, and instead of burying him, they put his body on ice for 3 months. And during those 3 months, they created a fake backstory about him, saying that his name was William Martin, and he was this really high-ranking Royal Marine officer for Britain. Okay, and during this time, they made sure that, like, he was in all the records of British, and everything like that. They then took him off of the ice, and because they put him on ice, his body was still pretty well-preserved. So they took him off of the ice, and then they outfitted him with fake ID cards, fake personal items, and some extremely fake top-secret documents. Right? So, I don't know if you can tell right now, but they were trying to make him look like he was a fake British officer. Now, the top secret documents that were 100% fake said that the Allies were going to try and attack Greece, even though they really wanted to attack Italy. So they were trying to fake out the Axis into removing troops and taking them to Greece, even though they were attacking Italy. So then what MI6 did is they took Glyndwr Michael's body, who was now renamed as William Martin, and they basically dropped him into the Spanish Sea because they knew that the Germans were operating in Spain, right? So a few days later, right, this body surfaced on the beach and a Spanish fisherman took it and reported it. And pretty soon the body was exchanged through hands and the documents were given to Adolf Hitler. And he read them through, and he actually thought that these fake top-secret documents were genuine. So he moved over 90,000 troops to Greece. And that basically left, like, very little troops in Italy, which is exactly what the Allies wanted. So they attacked Italy and took it over. And that was, like, a turning point for the war, because then the Allies started to really win the war. Now, at the beginning of this fact, when I started to talk about it, I said it was James Bond-esque. And that was a joke. Because a cool part about this is that the man who came up with the plan of Operation Mincemeat was actually the author of the James Bond books, Ian Fleming. Alright, so those are all the facts I have for you guys today. Thank you so much for listening. Leave a review if you'd like. Send me a message on Anchor if you'd like. My sources document is on my website, which is in the description. Once again, thank you so much for listening. Bye.